Reformed Church.
First of all, Isaiah 40, Psalm 103, both, if you put them both together, refer to youth. Psalm 103 says that he renews our youth like the eagles. Someone not that long ago, it said something to me about like, oh, I'm getting old. They were Christian too. So I just said, I said, he renews your youth like the eagle. I said, that's a verse. And it's good to remind people, especially, or just tell them for the first time, perhaps. But it speaks about renewing your youth. And of course, that's talking about your body, not your spirit. Your spirit doesn't need to be renewed in youth. It wasn't old to begin with, right? And I'm tempted to just teach on this, but I can't get sidetracked. So he talks about renewing your youth in Psalm 103. Isaiah 40, though, is where it really describes a little bit more like what the youth is like and what the power of God is like, because it calls the Lord the everlasting God. It says, he doesn't grow weary, neither does he faint. And then as it goes down, it says that he also takes that everlasting power and supplies it to us and gives it to those that are weary so that we can run and not grow weary. We can walk and not faint. That's that everlasting power, right, that he will multiply to us, you could say. And it says so that when we run, when we walk, we won't grow faint, we won't grow weary. And it says even a youth will grow faint and weary. But those that wait on the Lord, they'll renew their strength, they'll mount up on wings like eagles. And that eagle reference is, again, that's, I believe, an eagle is a spiritual being. If that's what it's talking about here, I suspect it is. An eagle is a spiritual being. In the book of Obadiah, it actually talks about how the eagles are, they make their nest in the heavens and all this stuff. That's a side from the point. But Psalm 103 talks about how he would renew our youth like the eagles. And here he doesn't say he'll renew our youth, but he said that we would mount up on wings like eagles and then describe what that's like. What is it like? Where you're everlasting, where you don't even grow faint or weary or tired. So being tired is a curse, okay? Even being tired. So we have the power of God to be multiplied to us where we don't even need to get tired, let alone grow old or faint and weary, because really growing old is really just a diminishing of power is all that growing old is. Lots of great stuff, but ultimately, let me share with for our short version here. Let me just share this one more thing, that let's just not talk about youth. Let's just talk about the full image of Jesus, because Jesus doesn't grow old. I believe it's Hebrews chapter 2 that talks about how Jesus does not grow old like a garment. Jesus doesn't grow old. The Bible says that as he is, so are we in this world. So if Jesus doesn't grow old, and as he is, 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. If that's the case, that means that you don't have any oldness on the inside of you either. Again, unless you don't believe you're like Jesus, which that's a whole nother topic then. But all things are of God now, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17 said that we're a new creation. Now all things are of God, and if God don't grow old, then you don't have any oldness in you either. With that said, just talking about the full image of Jesus, if we'll teach here that, hey, you have even the makings of your glorified body. I know that's kind of a radical thing for a lot of people, but you know, you have the makings of even a glorified body on the inside of you, let alone youth or not growing tired or not growing weary. You have the makings of a glorified body living on the inside of you, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that I don't have time to teach on right now. But you have that on the inside. He has worked you for this very thing, giving you the Spirit. The Spirit inside of you is the makings of a glorified body. Your glorified body is going to come from the Spirit inside of you. But you say, well, Pastor Mike, where is the verse? If you can cue up 2 Corinthians 3:18 for me. Where is the verse that would say that you can have even a walk in a glorified body right now? Where is that verse? Any verse that talks about being conformed or transformed into the image of Jesus is a verse about you getting your glorified body. Man, let's just, real quick, right? This says that we can be transformed. King James says change. If you can put the New King James up, just a little more understandable. This is fine too, but transformed into the same image. What same image? Of the glory of the Lord. When it says the glory of the Lord, the word Lord here is specifically referring to Jesus. And when it says the glory of the Lord, that's not talking about him in his earthly ministry, but him in his glory, meaning after his resurrection in his glorified state. And that you would be transformed into the same image, not all at once, but from glory to glory, into what though? The same image. God is a liar if you can't walk in your glorified body right now. Now there's a day coming when Jesus comes back where all saints will be resurrected, as 1 Corinthians 15 says. All saints will be resurrected. All saints at his coming, where everybody will. It says all in 1 Corinthians 15 at his coming. But The price, the only price that's ever going to be paid for anything you'll ever receive from God has already been paid. So to wait seems a little contradictory to the cross, right? Jesus only paid one price. So anything you're ever going to receive from God has already been paid for. And this says, which should just make sense, if the full price has been paid and Jesus said it's finished, not in the future, but in the past, how would there be anything that you couldn't receive right now? Doesn't that just not make sense? If Jesus already paid a price that somehow you can't, there's something, I can't receive it right now, even though he paid the full price already. Then why pay the price then 2,000 years ago? This says you can be transferred into the same image. You don't need another verse than that. There are more scriptures, but you don't even need, because since this is the short version, you don't need another verse than that. Same image means same image. I taught a message called, the subtitle was same image means same image. Either one of two things. Ultimately, it's either you believe that or you don't believe that. Because he wasn't unclear. He even described which version of Jesus he's talking about. What do you mean, which version? Not in the flesh, but in his glorified body. That's why he says the glory of the Lord. He even told you that. And then said you can be changed into the same image. So either God is a liar and he didn't really mean what he said, or we don't really believe what he said. But it's one of the two. Because he said same image. Right? Like, you either are going to go by what you've naturally seen, because you've never naturally seen someone with a glorified body. You're going to go by what you see rather than faith in the word of God. Or God's a liar and he just didn't really mean what he said. But it's one of the two. You can't have it any other way beside those two things. Either God lied when he said same image and didn't really mean same image. He meant like half the image of Jesus. Right? Because then if it's not the same image, I'm going to pose that question to you. How much then? God gives you the ratio. Jesus is at 100% glory, and he gives you the ratio right here. How much of that glory can you be transformed into? He says same, so that's 100%, right? Same. If Jesus is at 100% glory, glory of God, and it says same image, that means 100% of the glory of God you can walk in, which should just make sense. The cross has already been, you know, the payment's already been paid at the cross. But I'm going to have to ask you then, you are now responsible to answer if you don't believe that same image actually means same image of Jesus' glorified body. When he says glory of the Lord, that's what he's referring to, his glory, his resurrected body. You are now responsible to come up with an answer for what's the percentage then? Is it 50%? Jesus paid 100% of the price of the cross, so it makes sense that you'd be able to receive 100% of the glory. Makes sense. If you say that's not true, then you are now responsible before God to answer how much? 25%, 50%? You can't just be unclear with people. People have to know, how much can I receive from God? As a minister of the gospel, which every Christian is, you are therefore responsible to now come up with an answer. What are you preaching then? If it's not really the same glory, like, well, you're not really ever going to get your glorified body until Jesus comes back, even though the whole price has been paid, and it's really, he said it's finished, but I guess he really didn't mean it was finished. He meant like it's mostly finished because you can only get 50% right now. But if it's not 100%, then what is it? And ultimately, it doesn't make sense to say anything like 25%, 75%, even 99% when Jesus paid 100% of the price of the cross. You can receive all that right now. There's a whole lot of teaching behind this, and I know that most people here would agree with this, but a lot of people online don't know exactly everything where I'm coming from. But here's one more verse, just simple verses. Even Romans 8 talks about how we can be conformed to the image of his son, but even better verse in Ephesians 1, it says, watch this, it says, that God wants us to know the power that is toward us who believe in accordance with the power that God used when he raised Jesus from the dead. Okay? This says the power that is toward you, that means at your disposal, the power that you can use, is in proportion to the power that raised him from the dead. Well, that power, what did it do to Jesus when it raised him from the dead? Gave him a glorified body. We're back to the square one again. We're back to either God didn't really mean that, and he lied, and, well, I didn't really mean to say that you could receive as much power in proportion to the power that raised Jesus from the dead and gave him, of course, a glorified body. So either he didn't mean it, or perhaps we don't believe it. That's the case, though. Just to give you the answer on the quiz, it's B. We don't believe it. Most people don't believe that. That scripture has been around for about 2,000 years. And I've never heard a single person, I'm not saying they haven't been out there, but I've never heard a single person say that you can actually walk in a glorified body. And if you don't say that now, then you don't believe you can receive the full extent of the power that raised Jesus from the dead, because it gave him a glorified body, didn't it? And if you can't receive that, again, either God didn't mean what he said, or you don't believe it. But I'm gonna throw the ball in your court and tell you it's that we don't believe it. Now, I'm not saying everybody receives the glorified body until Jesus comes back, because again, 1 Corinthians 15 says all saints will be raised afterward at his coming. But that's more of a plan B. That's more of a deadline than anything. The price has already been paid. At latest, every Christian will be raised and will get a glorified body, let alone youth. Youth is like just one aspect of it. You can walk in a body right now, even if you're dissatisfied with your looks. You know, most Christians don't have an answer for that. People that have low self-esteem because they think they're ugly, even sometimes they see things in themselves that aren't even there, but that aside, they think they're ugly, they don't like the way that they look. Most Christians don't have a cross answer for that. How do you answer? Oh, you know, that's not important. What's important to God? How do I know? Because he died to get you a new body. Important to God. You know, the word glory actually is like the same word for beauty in the Bible. When you say glorified body, it's like you're saying beautified body. It's important to God. That's a problem that's important to God. Low self-esteem, your self-image, and you feel trapped in a body that you just don't like the way it looks. You're not trapped. God loosed you from that body. Gave you a new one. If someone ever makes fun of you about something about your body, say, that's okay, I got a new one. You do. You have a new one right on the inside of you. You just have to put it on. That's why the Bible says put on the new man. You already have the new man on the inside of you. You just got to put it on. Beautiful, right? How do you do that? It says put off the old man in Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 5. I'm not sure. I could be wrong on that reference. In fact, I very well might, maybe 4. But put off the old man. It says and be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. How do you put on the new man? You already got it. How do you put it on? You just got to wear it. How do you put it on? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. If you renew your mind to it, you'll put it on. But if you don't believe these type of things, you'll never put it on until Jesus comes back. So, am I surprised that you don't see Christians walk around in a glorified body? Absolutely not, because I never heard someone that believes it. I wouldn't expect it. I wouldn't expect anyone to come even close to that, because I haven't heard anyone even speak close to that. Even if someone does start speaking these things and believing these things, it still takes you a period of time to mature in it, let alone when you're not even speaking it. Takes you a while to mature, and it takes continuance, as according to the parable of the seed and the sower, it takes continuance until you bear the fruit of it. But if you're not even at the point where you even believe in it, I would never expect anyone to walk around in glory. But I tell you what, someone's got to do it. Even if no one else has, someone's got to be the first one to do it. So just raise your hand and say, Lord, I'll do it. Just raise your hand and say, Lord, I'll do it. And how do you do it? Start believing. He'll take care of the transformation aspect of it. 2 Corinthians 3:18 just said, all you got to do is behold. You're the beholder. You just behold the glory of the Lord. You'll be transformed into the same image by the Spirit, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit will do the transformation. All that hard part of manifesting and all that stuff, he'll take care of the manifestation. But people will choke on this message. I mean choke on it. Like choke on this message. Now, I haven't even given you near the scriptural evidence that I have for it. This is the quick version, right? That's turning into a long version. But I haven't given you near the scriptural evidence. But you know what, though? I've given you just even two verses right there. Ephesians 1, 2 Corinthians 3:18. That could not be clearer. I don't need another scripture than just those two, or any other scripture besides those two scriptures, to tell you that the power that's toward you is the power that raised him from the dead. What did it do to Jesus when it raised him from the dead? That's all you got to find out. And then you have the power that's in proportion to that. And then even furthermore, regarding that power manifesting upon your body, 2 Corinthians 3:18, says you would be transformed. That literally means, if you look at the Greek, transform means for the part of you that strikes the eye, your appearance. It doesn't mean inside. It doesn't mean morally. The part of you that strikes the appearance that I can see, that would be changed. That's what the Greek means. And you don't even need that. You don't even need the Greek. You have the scriptural context. The same word is used for Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, as we call it, when his figure was changed, when he was transfigured, transformed, and his appearance changed. That is talking about your flesh, because your spirit doesn't need to be transformed. Neither would the word transformed apply to your spirit, because I can't see your spirit. Transformed is about your appearance being changed. God has given you a beautified body. A glorified body, the makings of it, not in physical form yet, inside of you. Again, 2 Corinthians 5 says that. So, yeah, God took care of that. If you're not content with your body, God says, look, I fixed that already. You don't like the shape of your face or the shape of your nose or the shape of your mouth, or you don't like, listen, most Christians have no answer for you. There's just no help for that. Just suck it up. It's not important. In fact, they may even point you to the world. have someone else, you know, do surgery or like they'll send you to the world for something because Jesus can't help you here. You're going to have to go to a physical doctor. You shouldn't have to send people away for bread. You give them something to eat. You shouldn't have to send the multitude, the 5,000, away for bread, for food. You give them something to eat. How can you have the Almighty God on the inside of you and we're sending people out to someone else for help? You give them something to eat. God gave you the power to do these things, but you have to know these things in order to give it away. You can pray for people that their form change, that God will transform the ugly. You probably don't want to do that for other people unless they ask. But you can pray for people like that. I've prayed for people now, for youth. I had announced not that long ago, a few months ago, that I said, I'm going to start praying for people. Like, it was just, had come to mind. I'm going to start praying for people for youth. If they want prayer for youth. And I'm telling you, you're going to see miracles of youth and miracles that look like, are they changing into the glorified Jesus or something like that? You're going to see those things. Just going to see people in that transitional form. And anyway, it's good news. It's good news, but we have to believe it.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.